Welcome to the March 1st service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. Our service today is led by our minister, Reverend Pam Phillips, and the title of her sermon is Wisdom of Generosity. The podcast begins with a reading read by Rev. Pam. This is followed by a reflection by Worship Associate Kimberly Homer.
There's a little something different in the order of service. Now I'm making you look at it. It doesn't say reading, but I'm going to do a reading. I just have to. Today, as we consider the role of generosity in our lives, I'd like to share a meditation written by Jeffrey A. Lockwood, who is an insect ecologist and writer, a professor of natural sciences and humanities at the University of Wyoming, and a member of the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Laramie, Wyoming. He sounds like one of us, doesn't he? He writes, "Once upon a time, a thief snuck into the room of a sleeping Buddhist monk. As the burglar rummaged about, the monk awoke. The startled thief ran into the snowy streets with the monk racing after him. 'Please stop,' the monk said. And the man finally did, realizing that this pursuer was no threat. 'You'll need this,' gasped the monk, handing the thief his own coat. 'What do you mean?' the man asked. 'I saw that you dashed from my room into the cold without so much as a winter wrap, and I realized that I had both a woolen blanket and a coat.'" Lockwood reflects on this wisdom story, bringing it to life with an example from his own experience. He writes, "Having heard this implausible tale of sainthood years ago, I forgot the details but remembered the essential events. Ordinary people can't be morally compelled to make such extraordinary sacrifices. But for whatever reason, perhaps the sheer absurdity of such unconditional altruism, this parable stuck with me. It rattled around in my skeptical mind until the day my wife played the role of the Buddhist monk. Nan and I headed into the mountains for a day of skiing with our children, who were 4 and 6 at the time. In the chaos of packing up that morning, we'd forgotten our daughter's mittens. The wind was whipping and the mercury hovered in the teens, so no mittens meant no skiing. But for Nan, the solution was as obvious as it was simple. She always wore 2 pairs of socks. So she removed the outer layer and pulled them over Aaron's hands. The problem solved, we headed down the trail. I found her approach rather clever, the sort of practical, motherly thinking that often eludes my analytical mind, but hardly heroic. However, the bitter cold and the woolen warmth evoked the parable of the monk's coat. Among the snow-hushed pines, I remembered how the dialogue ended. 'I don't understand,' the man said. 'It is simple. You have nothing at all to keep you warm,' the monk answered. 'But you are a fool to give away your coat, leaving you with only a blanket,' the man replied, reaching for the garment. 'If I had 2 gloves on one hand and none on the other, would I be a fool to put one of them on my bare hand?' the monk asked. The man said nothing, took the coat, and hurried down the street. Lockwood concludes, "When we are not alienated, when love draws us into the suffering of others, when we see our happiness entwined in their well-being, then generosity is neither foolish nor heroic. It is the simplest and most obvious choice. And now I invite Kimberly to give a reflection.
I've been thinking about the wisdom of generosity all week. I looked up generous in the dictionary, and it said some stuff about liberal and characterized by nobility, and that reminded me too much of politics, so I decided that I didn't like that definition. So my definition is more than expected. When I was a child, I thought my grandparents were rich because they were always giving money, food, books, space in their house, not just to their grandchildren, but anyone around to be loved on. I was too young to know that rich people don't use paper bags for wallpaper or stuff newspapers in the floor to keep out the drafts or put the old appliances out in the backyard behind the rows of crepe myrtle so the kids would have a play kitchen. So maybe they weren't rich, but their generosity created abundance, and this has stuck with me. It may be that our capacity to be generous has more to do with feeling safe than with the specific amount we can afford to give. If we're worried about having enough food or medicine or keeping a roof over our heads, it would seem foolish to give $5 to the panhandler at the traffic light. And yet, like the parable of the widow's mite, the less well-off give a greater portion of what they have. Laura's Money Empowerment series has me thinking about my risk tolerance where money is concerned. As a divorcee approaching retirement age with a critically ill adult child, I should be pinching every penny and congratulating myself for choosing a job with a pension. I should say no when the ACLU or Appalachians Against Pipelines or the Women's Resource Center or to our house ask for more money. And yet, when one of the To Our House guests asked me what Unitarian Universalists believe a couple of years ago, I said, "I can't speak for all the UUs, but I believe no one is beyond redemption." And that guest, the following Sunday, walked 3 miles to come to our service. And then later on that week, I drove to Radford at 6 a.m. a couple of days to drive him to work in Blacksburg. And Pam and Susan have continued to be generous to this man. When we hosted To Our House in January, honestly, I was worried, you know, how it was going to go. But we had so many volunteers that the 357 hours we needed were more than fulfilled. Our generosity created abundance. The Cambria Pentecostal Holiness Church brought supper one of the nights. And if you can picture Pentecostal holiness and Unitarians all sitting down, breaking bread together, it's great. And the pastor, they stayed afterwards, and the pastor played Amazing Grace on his guitar. And a lot of us sang along. And it was grace, indeed, more than expected. Another thing I did not expect when I came to visit the UUC a few years ago, having been an embedded Episcopalian for most of my life, was to be greeted so warmly by Isabel and Akiko, not pressured, but really welcomed, and to soon find it's okay to worship the earth, and to prefer the company of other women in doing so, and to find no gospel readings about feeding the poor, but an actual schedule to work at the interfaith food pantry, and no shaming talk about the roles of men and women, but a specific program to support the Women's Resource Center, and no depictions of Jesus Christ as a lily-white redeemer, but real heart-wrenching conversations about what it means to be in charity with one's neighbors. I love the half-plate recipient practice, even if I'm feeling strapped that week, because the people around me never fail to be generous. I love the interconnectedness of the generations, too. Our youth are so wise, and our sages are so playful, and our quarter-lifers are saving the world, one yellowfinch visit and one solar panel at a time. And I don't know about you all, but having a mental health justice ministry, which has now evolved into a recognized NAMI chapter, has made me aware that there's no shame in struggling or in loving someone who's struggling. Even if you're an atheist, there's always more grace than we expected. And at the stewardship meeting after the service last week, which had really good snacks, by the way, I heard and read people say why they like it here, like this line by a six-year-old: "I love how everyone gets along, even when we have different ideas." So much grace. And I found myself increasing my own pledge just a little more than expected.
Thank you.
Yeah. I love Kimberly's definition: more than expected. I like it because it isn't tied to a specific number or a specific percentage. Her grandparents could afford to be generous, to give more than expected, not because they were financially rich, but rich in spirit. They shared what they had: money, food, books, space in their homes, even kitchen appliances, with those whom they loved. Or as Kimberly put it, anyone around to be loved on. I'm guessing that meant a wide variety of people, not just family or friends. And I'm betting it wasn't a lot of money, as they didn't have a lot of money to give. But it was more than expected. This definition of generosity fits with how I've come to think about stewardship campaigns. When I first attended a UU congregation in White Plains, New York, I was pretty mystified by the whole process of pledging and a little worried. I must have arrived just in time for their annual pledge campaign because it seemed like they were always talking about money. And this worried me because I wasn't interested in joining a church that expected me to pay up all the time, like those folks you see on TV. But especially because I was a young adult just starting out and was paying off my college loans. College loans that were minuscule in comparison to what young people have to pay today. But I didn't have a lot of money to give. It wasn't until years later that I came to appreciate what this whole business was about. For one thing, UU congregations don't subscribe to the practice of tithing, as do some evangelical and Mormon churches. The expectation that everyone gives 10% of their income to the church. Someone shared with me recently that when they went to an Assembly of God church years and years ago, when they were going through a particularly hard time in their life, one of the church members said to them, "Are you tithing? Because if you were tithing, you'd be okay." Nor do UU congregations ask members to pay dues, like some Jewish congregations do, or to pay to enroll their children in RE classes. Instead, every year we ask people in the congregation to decide for themselves how much money they can pledge to donate to the congregation so that the finance committee and the board can propose a budget. We do raise some money through our annual auction. Shout out to the people who run that auction, which is one of the most fun events and also raises lots of money. From renting our space, from half of our weekly offering plate, and too little from programs through Amazon and Kroger. If you have a Kroger card, you can register it to the UUC, so every time you go grocery shopping, we get a little money. But the lion's share, 92% of our income, is from pledges. And because we don't set expectations like tithing or setting dues, we rely on people to determine for themselves what it means to be generous. We invite people to consider that which has worth in their connections to this congregation. Today, Kimberly shared some of what was of worth to her, living into her belief that no one is beyond redemption by helping out with To Our House. Learning and reflecting by participating in workshops like the Money Empowerment Series. Being and feeling truly welcomed. Finding a group of women with whom to worship in the Earth Spirit Sisters. Supporting other worthy causes through our half plate offerings. Appreciating the contributions of our multi-generational community members, and cherishing the work of the Mental Health Justice Ministry, now the NAMI affiliate. So, if you were to come up here today to consider that which is of worth to you, what would you say? And the next question, I guess, would be, how much is it worth to you? I'm hoping that your answer would be more than expected. Not more than what the congregation expects from you, but more than you expect from yourself. That's a lot of responsibility, isn't it? If you belong to a congregation that expected you to tithe, it would be easy. You'd just pull out a calculator and know what to give. Same if we had set dues for everyone. We'd just send you a bill. But no, we Unitarian Universalists who affirm the free and responsible search for truth and meaning get the privilege and the responsibility of deciding for ourselves what it means to be generous. So as you consider what you might pledge this year, keep in mind this definition: more than expected. I feel certain I've shared this with you before, but there was a woman at the church in Charlottesville who was on a fixed income, and she pledged $5 a week. And we would give her a ride to church because she didn't drive. And every once in a while she'd say, "Oh, Pam, I'm sorry, I can't give my pledge this week. I have to buy groceries." More than expected. You decide. This year's stewardship campaign slogan is 2020 Vision and Visibility. It's a clever play on words on 2020 Vision, which clearly some of us don't have. But more importantly, it reflects the work that we've tasked our strategic planning committee to lead us in a holy conversation of how we might live more fully into our vision, but also how we can make who we are and what we do more visible in the community. For many of us, finding our way to Unitarian Universalism and to this congregation in particular has been life-changing and even life-saving. We want to be generous in sharing what we found here with others in our community. And that requires the generosity of us all, with our time and our talents and our treasure. I'm excited to report that we are starting our campaign kickoff with a bang. As of today, 46 pledges have been made for a total of $136,957. Thanks to all who have already pledged for getting us off to a good start. We're almost 40% of the way toward our goal of $357,000. Let's give them a round of applause. This is a generous congregation. And as we're starting the official campaign today, you have several options after the service on how you choose to steward the Unitarian Universalist congregation. Because we are all stewards when we take care of the thing we love. If this is your first time here, consider yourself a steward, because your presence here today makes this a unique and special moment. Just by being here, you're taking care of the place we love. And we still would like your money, but not if you're a first timer. So here are some of the things you can do after the service. You can pick up one of the brochures and a pledge card. Didn't anybody have a pledge card or a brochure with them? We have this really cool front. Okay, can you hold it up, Carol? It looks like a vision chart. Thanks to Wayne New, it's beautiful. Pick up one of the brochures and a pledge card to take home to think about how generous you can be this year. This year's brochure has some amazing testimonials from a wide range of folks. The age range is from 3 years old to north of 80, with a wide range of interests. We received so many testimonials that we had to put many on the web page. So I encourage you to find them under the About tab on the website. Now, if I had a screen up here, those words would be scrolling and you could read them now instead of listening to me. But because we don't have a screen, we've put a couple of computers out in Elarth, and the testimonies are scrolling. You have to read them. They're fabulous. And if you pledge online, there's a line where you can add your testimonial to, and we'll try to get it up on the website. It's amazing to see what this church means to all of you. If you've already read some of the materials online and you feel ready to make a pledge, you can stop by the stewardship table and either make a pledge online or fill out a pledge card. If you're feeling inspired to do more than expected, you can attend the training for people who would like to be official stewards for the campaign. Stewards contact members and friends of UUC who haven't yet pledged to talk to them about what inspires them, what they love about this congregation, and to help them through the logistics of the pledging process. Andy will be doing the training, yes? In what room would they find you? Room 3 downstairs. This is a wonderful opportunity to get to know people you might not know otherwise. What better way to get to know someone than to share what you love about this congregation? And it's also a great way to help out the stewardship committee, which is really hardworking. However you choose to be a steward of UUC, I encourage you to consider the role of generosity in your life. I had intended to talk about the wisdom of generosity, because our theme this month is, what does it mean to be a people of wisdom? But I prefer the wisdom in the Buddhist story and Lockwood's framing of it. Perhaps it is wise to be generous, but more importantly, it is the simplest and most obvious choice. But only when we see our destiny inextricably linked with the destinies of others. Only when we realize that we are all connected, part of the interdependent web of all life. I prefer to think of generosity as a spiritual practice, a way of remembering with gratitude all that has worth in our lives. A way of reminding ourselves that so much that we value comes to us as gifts of grace. A way of reminding ourselves that we are inextricably linked to each other, and embodying that understanding by being generous. in whatever way we can be generous. I think of the image of the monk who says, if I had two gloves on one hand and none on the other, would I be a fool to put one of them on my bare hand? Not a fool, a sage. It is wise to be generous. When we are generous to others, we are generous to ourselves. Let us be generous. Let us do more than expected. Amen. Our closing hymn is in the gray hymnal.